Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. What a beautiful day. Happy holidays. My favorite time of the year. I would like to, so first of all, my partner in crime, Daniel, is playing hooky again today. Actually, he's got a speaking engagement out on in the northeastern part of the country. He's actually a little under the weather. I spoke to him last night, but he was all excited about his presentation today. So, Daniel, if you're listening, hear my prayers, brother, and I'm sure you've done a fantastic job as always. But fortunate for me, my special guest, I've got a dear friend, and Senior Vice President, GM of e-commerce at H.H. Gregg, the consumer electronics behemoth out on the eastern part of the country, Mr. Kevin Lyons. Good afternoon, Kevin. How are you, ma'am?
Good, man. How are you?
I am fantastic. Before we get started, I want to throw the number out there. For anyone interested in calling in today, as we get into our conversation, you can reach Kevin and I at 347-677-1965. Again, 347-677-1965. What a great conversation. What a great topic today. It's, for those of you who haven't had the opportunity to read what our dialogue is going to be about, it's the power of personal ownership and shaping your personal brand. Kevin, you and I have been around an awfully long time. We've worked with an awful large number of leaders that have personal brands that that span the gap of world-class. You cherish them as leaders, mentors, friends, and you have some of those leaders that maybe not so much. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that happens in life and business, does not?
but I think that's exactly it. And I think that that's one of the reasons I was so excited to have this conversation with you today, Kevin, is because we are, you know, Daniel and I talk about it on the show frequently about being heart-centered. And the more you engage with what people call the most successful, and I'm not referring to financial here, but the more we talk about the most successful leaders across the world, the more that you realize that they're compassionate, they're loving, they're caring, they hold their employees up very high. So when you talk about things like personal brand, you can't talk about it just from a business sense. You literally are talking about an individual and who they are all the way through, aren't you?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, when you think about the someone who inspired you throughout your career, everybody has that example. It's usually someone who realized early on that an investment in others is, you know, is an investment in themselves. And if that doesn't ring true, then you probably have to reassess your priorities on who you think are better leaders. And I think that it's always not the title either. So when I talk about a leader who is inspirational or someone who's got a great personal brand, it just doesn't mean that that's your direct boss or a head of a company. There are leaders that we've experienced through our careers, and you know them well. Some people who may have been junior to us or peers, you know, or in other parts of the organization that you really admired because you knew that they led with the best intentions.
Yes, that's absolutely right. And I think what's more interesting is, as you talk about individuals that have been, that have been, you know, whether it's junior to you or myself, or you watch them grow up through organizations, it's never a secret when you come across one of these men or women, because they naturally have this aura and what I call energy. They have just this really cool, positive energy about them that people naturally just kind of fall in line. Not to, you know, fall beneath them necessarily, but fall in line in terms of, you know, they get your attention. You know, when you're in a, whether it's a large room, small room, meeting room, When they speak, you know, people are truly engaged, and that can be any level in the organization. We talk about personal brand. So much of it goes back to our own self-confidence, right? I mean, you don't mm-hmm. see these leaders typically. They're all wishy-washy, and you know, they're not you know, not decisive in their thinking. I mean, they bring with them a high level of confidence, regardless of what their skill level or what their you alluded to earlier, so what their title is. I mean, would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, and I know that you have read some of the books from John Maxwell, right? And one of my personal favorite authors, and one of the things that he talks about in his 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, that law of E.F. Hutton, right?
Yes.
It's when you notice people in a room, the leader in the room is not always the person with the title. It's the person where you start to recognize people are nodding their head, they're buying into the conversation they're having, and to your point, you can tell there's an aura or sense of confidence about them and their conviction in what they're talking about. You know, not over passionate, but someone who really can motivate others to do great things.
You know, you just said something there, because I think this is important for all of us to understand. A lot of us know or have grown up or experienced, we see them on TV, right, these fire and brimstone inspirational type leaders. And God bless mm-hmm. them. We need them, because I can think of a couple come directly to mind that were world-class leaders. But I think we need to be cautious, because in a lot of ways people say, gosh, I could never do that, when they don't realize
right.
not only do they have the natural skill and ability, that some of the world's greatest leaders weren't the loudest in the room. And actually, they spoke half as much as anyone else, or maybe even less than anyone else. And they didn't do it by pounding on the table or standing on top of it to get attention. So I think in many cases, there's this misnomer that, you know, you have to be wearing the, you know, the $5,000 suit, drive the nice car. You know, you have to be the loud, boisterous one that always has the attention in the room. And that's actually not the case at all. If nothing else, it's quite often it's the person that exercises the largest amount of humility, right? The individual,
yeah.
when you're around them, that energy you experience is, you just, you know, I always say, like, it's just like, it just feels really cool. I mean, I don't know any better way to explain it, but you have those friends, those acquaintances that when you're around them, you just feel very natural. The conversation is, it's non-threatening. You don't feel like you're speaking to someone 2-3 levels above. You feel like you're always being respected. So it's not always about the fist pounders and those screaming at the top of their lungs, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the things, and not to keep quoting authors, but obviously you find inspiration in everything. But, you know, Howard Behar talks about the 10 principles of personal leadership. And one of the things he says about practicing leadership, meaning you got to know when to make the big noise, and you got to know when to, you know, create execution with a still small voice. And so it's the good leaders, the best leaders out there that know that balance. They're not always leading with, you know, to your point about pounding the fist on the desk or you know, always the cheerleader. Sometimes it's that small little question that provokes thought in everybody in the room, makes everything stop for a moment to reconsider. And it's so important for effective leaders to know how to do that.
Well, you said something there I want to go back to for just a moment. It's quite often it's about the questions they ask
mm-hmm.
and not necessarily their point of view or what they're sharing. And I mean, I know quite often, even myself, it's that, you know, it goes back to the old cliche or analogy, right? The good Lord gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
it's less about, and people, it's not that regardless of whatever leader you are, people are interested in what you have to say. But it's the curious leaders, or it's the curious individuals. If you take it out of leadership or business for a moment, it's those individuals that have the ability to exercise what I'll call exceptional leadership skills, which unfortunately the good Lord didn't bless me with, but I'm working really hard at it.
Oh, now that's not true.
who have exceptional listening skills probably ask more questions than they answer. And it's, to me, it's the day and age of the curious leader has never been more alive and well. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'll take my own personal journey, Johnny, through that is, you know, growing up and again, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, you start to pattern some of your leadership behaviors after others. And unfortunately, sometimes when you're young in your career, you pattern it after something you think is right, and you only get better over time, and you learn lessons sometimes the hard way, and sometimes it's not as hard as you thought. And it was always early on, you felt like in order to be a leader, you had to have the answer. And it really is not about having the answer, it's about having action. And mm-hmm. and so if you think like a person that with action, right, but you act like a person with thought, and so that's where the questions start to come. It's, you may know the answer, or at least you think you know the answer, but instead of just giving it, how do you get others to consider a position? And you throw a question out there that not just to get an answer that you know is right, but also an answer which may surprise you. And
I like that.
Those leaders that do that really start to bring home buy-in from someone else, right?
Because you can only
portray yourself as a leader and fake it for so long of having all the answers. It's the ones where people, you know, really follow that get them to think independently on their own.
You know, I think that's such a great point, because I think the other side benefit of when you behave in that way, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, you've been at this a long time, but the other side benefit of that is that the more that you bring other people into solving whatever that challenge mm-hmm. is that you have in front of you, and activating and having them go out, or even expressing an interest, whether you do or don't have whether you have the answer or not, expressing an interest and asking their perspective as to how would you solve it, and then allowing them to activate and actually go and take that. I mean, the more that you can, and again, I think there's a fine line. We did a show here recently about, you know, delegating, right? And it's mm-hmm. that fine line mm-hmm. between, you know, effective delegating and then dumping on people, right? But what you and I are talking about is, right, it's an empowering people. It's making them feel like they're part of the solutions, they're part of the journey, and then they go out on their own power and they go out and solve it. Along the way, they grow, they develop, they create, since we're talking about brand and ownership, you know, their personal brand becomes even more, even stronger, and people start viewing them differently, you know?
Yeah.
I got a question.
You're not, sure.
Go ahead, Kevin. No, please go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, one of the things I was going to add on to that is, you know, just like on a strategy component where you involve them in the strategy, it's also important on development. I know we're going to talk a lot about personal brand and development and who really owns that, right? And I think that if I were to sit down with an employee and come up with their goals for them, how effective are they going to be at executing against those goals versus sitting down and them help create those goals for themselves, then how more able and willing are they to actually execute against them? They're their goals. They set them, right? I didn't set them for them. Therefore, they can't say I didn't agree with the goal.
Yeah, but how often? I mean, think about that. How you say it sounds incredibly logical. But how often does an employee walk into a room, they're getting their annual review, their quarterly review, whatever review it is, and they are handed exactly what the expectations and are
right.
from a business standpoint
right.
and what they're – and their development, they stop short of what their actual personal – you know, what I call the what do you want to be when you grow up. That happens
mm-hmm.
every day, all the time, in some of the biggest companies across the world today.
Oh, big or small. And I think what happens is you start to treat personal and people development as a checklist. And
right.
and I have a calendar, and my deadline is to get reviews done by a certain time. And I may or may not have a policy where I must have one-on-ones, and even those can be a little fluffy. That's where that happens the most. It's the phone it in leader, and quite honestly, the phone it in follower. So going back
right.
to personal brand is at some point in your career, it's you that has to step up and say, I don't agree, right? I would like to have a conversation about what my goals and objectives are. And until you take ownership of that, it's constantly going to happen to you versus making things happen for yourself.
So let's take that to another level. So there's a lot of great companies out there, a lot of big companies, small companies, as you alluded to earlier. And now more than ever, when you start looking at statistics and you can get in a conversation about millennials or our upcoming generations, boys and girls that are, that you know, will be the next generation of leaders in the world. As we see them change, you know, they're becoming more, and I think about even my own children graduating from college, you know, within, you know, 2 years. And all those statistics would tell you that the millennials, believe it or not, aside from popular belief, actually are staying in jobs longer than what the conversations are taking place, far more than they ever anticipated. What's interesting, though, is they're saying at least a minimum of 2 years they're staying in these roles now. Now, what I find so fascinating is they say a minimum of 2 years. Heck, I stayed in my last company for 27 years, which just, which you know, when the way we were raised, I mean, that's just the way it was.
Right.
But now
right.
more than ever, with the ability for young men and middle-aged young men and women today to be able to have this horizontal movement between organizations, what I find so interesting, and I say this, I'm speaking personally because I get the opportunity, I'm blessed to be able to work with a whole lot of really cool people across the world, but it fascinates me how many of them, when they leave these companies, how they're lost, and how the organization, it was the organization they worked for who actually defined their personal brand and their identity, and as soon as they got away from that brand, you've seen them less confident. You've seen them less willing to kind of put themselves out there, let's just say, in social environments, less confident when going out to interview with other organizations. How does that happen where a person just slowly begins to, unknowingly, I should say, starts losing themselves and starts, you know, retaining the identity of the organization they work for? How does that happen?
Yeah, I think, again, it goes back to whether it's the culture that was defined by their leader, or the company. You and I grew up in the philosophy, which is people don't leave companies, they leave leaders, right? They leave people who they don't want to follow. You may agree or disagree with company policy, and yes, there's going to be times where you're leaving because you don't believe in what that company stands for. But the majority of the time, that people are leaving because they're not getting something from the person they're working for. And a lot of times, especially with millennials today, I think it's more, and this is not a knock on millennials, just more of the culture in which they've grown up, is that, you know, they're used to being fed certain things. And if they're not fed those things, then in some cases they won't challenge. They'll challenge things like what's the impact of our company on the environment. For example, things are very important to millennials, right? They're very socially conscious. But when it comes to themselves, it's almost the exact opposite. I'm not getting what I need, and therefore I'm going to leave. And to your point, once I leave, because I didn't take that time to really set my personal goals, regardless of whether you do that with your own organization or your boss, you know, how many people kind of sit down and write out kind of what they want to get done for that week, that day, more importantly, for the year, when they come out and say, you know, at the end of the year, this is what I want to be known for. And that goes back to that personal brand. What do I want to be known for over this course of time, whatever it may be? And so what you find is, especially with the power of social media and everything else, that you can define your brand. And that brand is going to be out there for the world to see, regardless if it's a good brand or not a good brand. And so working on what you want that brand to stand for is even more important than it was even 3 years ago, 5 years ago. When I left a company after being there for 15 years, you know, even I fell victim to that to a certain degree, where you're almost in that force mode of saying, okay, now how am I going to put my brand together? How am I going to get information out into the world to say what's my next thing in life? And a lot of people think personal brand has to only reside with entrepreneurs, but that's not the case at all. And, it's even more important in the business world to say, if, and I'm not talking about, you know, being a PowerPoint god, right? That's not something you would, you know, add as your personal brand. It's more, you know, it's the thing of saying, you know, I'm passionate about these things, and you can add a bit of personal information to that. What I find most interesting when I talk to, whether it's candidates or peers, the ones that really I admire the most are really good at storytelling, and they can blend in who they are as a brand to how they feel about their family, how they consider their actions outside of just the work environment and not themselves. What has made their shift? So if you see a lot of job hopping along the way, but they can talk about that in way of family or social position or whatever that may be, I'm a lot more apt to listen than I am the fact that, well, that company wasn't giving me what I was looking for.
Yeah. I think that's great insight, and I think it's even more interesting when you see employees, especially in this day and age. You know, I look at the struggle that the apparel industry is having today, and how some of the biggest behemoths and well-known brand names all of a sudden are experiencing struggles. You know, we've seen that years ago. You know, the consumer electronics business. I mean, and it's cyclical to various industries. But what I think's as interesting is these individuals that aren't leaving on their own, that because that they're displaced because of shrinking workforce or SG&A cost reduction, so forth and so on. And then all of a sudden, I think I want to go back to something you said, it's not just entrepreneurs. What you find yourself is you've committed yourself so much to an organization, and you've dedicated every waking hour, in some cases sleeping hour that you have, to focusing on that job at hand, that what you've done is you've failed to work, and I mean that, you failed to work on you. And I think there's two parts that go with that. It's almost synonymous with age. The older you get, the more planful you get in what do you want to be when you grow up, right? When you're young, it goes from I want to be the president of the United States to, as you get older, it says I want to be more caring, more giving. I want to be donating my time and volunteering more often, right? As an example.
Yep.
But the more I see this is, as you all of a sudden you're displaced, you find out not only did I not network, in some cases I don't have a LinkedIn profile, I don't have a resume or an updated resume because I haven't had to apply for a job in 10 years. I don't know how to use Twitter. I don't know how to use Facebook, Instagram, right? And I think the whole point of it is just being engaged in those areas isn't necessarily what defines your brand. It goes back to something you said early. It's that honesty and transparency of who you really are, right? Who you are as a person, those things that are passionate. And I'll share a very short story with you here. I was working with an awesome company in Southern California here recently, and I was having a conversation with the CEO and the CFO. And the CFO was a very, very, what I would say, mindful and conscious leader. And in my conversation with her, she would fall in with what we would call the millennials. And I thought it was very insightful because her statement to me, because I was talking about how exciting it was and how just impressed I was with her, you know, her tenacity, her commitment, her passion, and her ability to obtain such, you know, a significant role. I mean, chief financial officer in any organization is relevant, and this was no small company by any means. And so I was kind of giving her some praise for where she'd come in her career. And it was interesting because her comment to me was, of course, thank you. She says, however, what I am painfully aware of is that you hear quite often of this suggestion of how active we are and no fear and how we'll leave from one company to go to another to pursue what we really want, and how companies have to change the way they behave in order to attract and retain young leaders like this. She says, however, what's not being talked about enough is the fact that no matter how much ambition, academic smarts, or passion have, we lack life experience. And I thought, wow, she says, Johnny, she says, that's why in that case we were commenting about our work together. And she says, that's why working with someone with the wisdom and insight who's been to this move so many times, who's been around for many years and seen so much of it firsthand, there's never a substitute for that. And if you can bring the best of both worlds together, oh, my gosh, you know, what would the future look like? And I thought, wow, because you don't hear that discussion in this dialogue today. And again, it's no surprise why she's CFO. Again, she's a very self-aware type of individual. But I guess when I think of personal brand, I guess my question for you is, if, and I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but the top two or three things. So someone who's been who's with the company currently, and they're sitting here listening to us today, and they're saying, you know, I'd like to call in, but I don't know where to begin. What advice would you give them? You know, they've done little to no work on their self brand. What would you tell them, Kevin?
Well, you know, and I actually thank you for that question. I think it's very important to think about this in terms of don't wait until you need to work on your brand. You do it now. And one of the things, and I get the great pleasure within our organization to speak to our emerging leaders, and I always talk about this, is that you're a brand, and you are the CMO of you. And so what can you do now? And even when HR is in the room, they get a little sketchy when I go down this path. But it's very important, as I say, always update your resume. Because if you wait until you have to do it, you're going to forget. You're going to miss out on some of the most amazing things that you've accomplished. And now is the time to take note of those. You know, and your resume is not the only tool. It's like, you know, we talked about storytelling earlier. It's like, where in the world can I have an opportunity to tell a story about an example of my success, about an example of my opportunity, because those things are going to come up in conversations when you go after that next challenge. And if you wait, you're going to miss out on all the details that you just refresh in your mind as you live through it. And the other part is about being social and being professional. So to your point is like, you have to start reconsidering and thinking about what the brand you're putting out there today in the world. You got to think about, you know, how do I communicate on social networks like Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, and more importantly in the professional world is what do I have to do to constantly update my LinkedIn profile? And look for opportunity everywhere. This is the one that gets, you know, my HR partners probably most in a tiff is you think, well, my gosh, he's basically saying go take every phone call that comes from a prospective recruiter or something to that degree, right? Number one, I'm not advocating that necessarily, but I'm not discounting it either. I think there's always opportunity to have a conversation about something because, one, it's going to sharpen your tool set on how you answer and ask questions, and you should think about it as another investment in yourself. And then the other thing is if you're a manager of people, if you're not investing in others, then you're losing on more opportunity to invest in yourself because you're not honing your skills as a leader. You know, no matter how busy you think you are, you've always got time to work on you, and you've always got time to work with others. And then the other thing is most people think of the ladder as vertical, right? They think of it as like, I've got to climb the corporate ladder. If I'm a web designer, then I want to be the best web designer I can be, and I'm going to go be a creative director. Well, sometimes you're missing out on the best opportunity. That's a horizontal move to broaden my skill set. So I don't think of the ladder, but more of a map that goes, you know, north, south, east, and west. And so those are the things that I would tell people is that, you know, you're the CMO of you, and development never, ever stops. It never stops for others, and it never stops for yourself.
I love that. I love that. You know, we could actually do about it, write a book on this thing and do a 1 hour long show. But folks, believe it or not, as every week, we've ran out of time when we've had a lot more to talk about. Kevin, I want to thank you for joining. I hope you'll take this as an open invitation to come back and join myself and possibly even Daniel when we get back on the show. But it's been so good to hear your voice. As always, I love your insights, and thank you so much. And to our avid listeners out there, we wish you a happy holiday. We'll see you next week. God bless, and thanks again.
Thanks, Johnny. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit their websites at livingwithpurpose.today or danielgutierrez.com. You can also call them directly at 1-805-605-3000. 763-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.